Glory be to God. We're going to take a just a little side excursion from thank you, sir, from our teaching. And it really isn't per se, but we're going to just take a little different angle, I guess you could even say that, from our teaching on achieving an alien mentality to, I want to talk to you about Abby Johnson. So this little title of this side excursion is called the Abby Johnson Testimony. The Abby Johnson Testimony. Powerful testimony. Many, many, many lessons that we can learn from this powerful testimony. And I want to speak to you. I believe I'm being led of the Lord to speak to you about this miracle that God performed on this young lady. Amen. Her name is Abby Johnson, A-B-B-Y Johnson. Abby Johnson in 2001 was a volunteer at Planned Parenthood. Now, Planned Parenthood is the largest abortion provider in the entire world, as I understand. She was a volunteer at Planned Parenthood in college. She saw a booth in college and went and volunteered for them. And she progressed from a volunteer all the way to a position of community service director. So she ran this facility in Bryan, Texas. And she identified herself as extremely pro-choice. And she worked in this clinic for 8 years. So I want you to hear that. So here she was, extremely pro-choice. She worked for Planned Parenthood for 8 years, progressed up to be a director of this particular facility in Bryan, Texas. Abby Johnson is married. She's a mother of four biological, and the fifth child was adopted. It was a biracial, bi-ethnic child, I'll say. Only one race, but bi-ethnic child. And she adopted this child. This child had been conceived out of rape from their mother. And so we're talking about the Lord moving on. You know, the child was black and white, and Abby is white. And for her to, for the Lord to move on the husband and the wife to adopt this child that was conceived out of a violent rape is truly the work of the Lord. And that was their fifth child. So she is at Planned Parenthood for 8 years doing a thing. 22,000 abortions she had overseen in those 8 years. But how many know we serve a mighty God?
Amen.
I'm going to lift both hands on that.
Hallelujah.
This is a powerful testimony. You're talking about 22,000 abortions, 8 years director at Planned Parenthood. That's a lot of death to see by one individual. 2009 came. How many know God has his own timing?
Amen.
2009 came. In 2009, let's start with January. January 2009, Planned Parenthood let her know we're going to start performing third trimester abortions. That's trimester 7, 8, and 9. Now, I was asked by a grandmother and a mother of a little child. The child had died in the womb at 6 months, at the end of two trimesters. And so the mother had to give birth to the child anyway, even though it was going to be stillborn. And then that mother and her mother, which makes the child grandmother, they asked me to come and pray over the remains of that child. So that's the first time that I had ever seen a two trimester term baby. So I saw with my own eyes a 6 month in the womb baby, about that big, fully formed. Fully formed. I told you this before. It was incredible. I saw, you could see the nose and the cheekbones and the eyes, and the skin was very supple and soft. It was completely there. And this is after two trimesters. Planned Parenthood said, we're going to go into the third trimester. We're able to do abortion, to kill the baby. So Abby Johnson then began to, like, I don't know about that one, because that's a little, you know. And she jokes and she tells testimony, you know, because that would kind of went against my, I'm a very moral person. She kind of making sarcastic of that, because for her working there at 10-22,000, you know, but even for her, this kind of was like, oh man, I don't know about this one.
Yeah, thank you, Lord.
How many know God got various ways of bringing you to where he wants you to do? He can do it, boom, all the Damascus Road conversion, bam, knock you in the head, boom, you saved.
Amen.
Or you can do it over 9 months. I just thought about that. Coincidentally, it took 9 months too. So, first semester in January, I don't know about that one. See, for the first time I went home and told my husband, I don't know if I'm going to be working here. No, I'm not sure, because she was planning to retire. She's, you know, they call folks who do that a lifer. How coincidental is that? You know, when you're there for life, they call you a lifer, you know, amongst all this debt, you know. Also, what was happening too in that year is that they were building the largest abortion facility in the entire Western Hemisphere. Was being built at that time. And she already had her office there. They were going to move her up, and she was going to be the COO, the chief operating officer of that facility. She was in line for that. How many know the devil don't quit? How many know this is spiritual warfare? How many know that spiritual warfare is real?
Amen.
So this happens in January, so she's thinking about this. But guess what happens in April? She is chosen as the employee of the year for Planned Parenthood. Wow, what timing. For 2008, she's the employee of the year. And she gets to go to their fundraising dinner and gets to sit next to Hillary Clinton. Guess what? Now, isn't that impressive in the natural? Like, wow, you know? Now, she's thinking about it in January, but when this happens, she's kind of like, well, you know, I don't like that, but hey, this is fun. So therefore, she maybe I can power through that and stay here. I'm gonna ask this many more times, but how many know we serve a mighty God?
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. So January, maybe I'll leave. April, maybe I'll stay. August comes along. In August, her supervisor, her direct supervisor, tells her, we're going to double our quota of abortions. We want to double it. And she says, now Abby Johnson, she has a master's in college. You know, she's an educated person. But how many know that educated folk don't mean that you're smart?
Amen.
You just educated and dumb. You're just a dumb educated person. So Abby says to the to this supervisor, really, I thought Planned Parenthood was about trying to reduce the number of abortions, because that's what y'all told me, and because they lied to her in the beginning in 2001 to get her to volunteer. So it's not about just abortion, it's about women's health services and so forth. They tell the lie even today. So she was kind of stunned, and she said, well, you know, I thought we were trying to reduce it, but, and the supervisor said, Abby, what in the world is you, I'm paraphrasing, what in the world is you talking about? This is how we make our money. We make our money per abortion. What is wrong with you? We're going to double this. So now, if we go back to the roller coaster, this is not quite what I'm, you know, I've been here for 22,000 abortion, but, you know, y'all kind of ramping it up. You know, it reminded me of Hitler's Germany, just to be honest with you. Because it first starts with a mindset.
Amen.
It first starts there. And how can we do this, make this killing machine even more profitable? And she's kind of seeing this now. So he's thinking about it. And then the very next month, and it's coincidental that in the ninth month, which is the term of gestation for the baby, in the ninth month, September, a doctor from a clinic in another part of Texas, Austin, Texas, he visits her clinic. And what he does is he uses ultrasounds, an ultrasound machine, to perform the abortion so that he can see what he's doing. At this clinic where Abby worked, they didn't do that. At clinics throughout most of America, Planned Parenthood, rather, does not use ultrasound. And you say, well, why are you saying that? Now, this doctor had his own private abortion practice. And in his, he wasn't part of Planned Parenthood. He was had his own practice, and he used ultrasound. That was not Planned Parenthood, the largest abortion provider. That's not their practice. So this is how it works. An ultrasound is only used to determine how old the baby is. So they wheel in the ultrasound and they determine how old the baby is. So when the person shows up, the mother shows up in the clinic, she may say, I am 9 weeks and 4 days. Okay? Well, 9 weeks and 4 days. And so you pay for your abortion right off the bat. You go into the room, and there you are. Then they bring in the ultrasound to determine exactly how many weeks are you. So if you're on the ultrasound, so now you are on the table, and they bring in the ultrasound, and they see that you're 10 weeks and 1 day. That's just 4 days more, right? Because 9 weeks and 4 days, right? 3 more days give you the 10th week, 7 days in a week. And then 1 more day puts you 10 weeks and 1 day. So just 4 days difference. Mm-hmm. They say, oh, you're 10 weeks and 1 day. So that's a little different in price. It's a little different in price. And then Abby is telling she's telling her testimony. She says, no reason for it to be different, just because we know we can do it. It's charging, but we know we can. So they wheel out, they get that thing out of there. Then we'll tell you why in a minute. They get that ultrasound out of there. And then the last person hired, because it's a job that nobody wants, the last person hired then has to go into the room. And while the woman, the mother, is in the most vulnerable position that a woman can be in, with her on her back, feet in the stirrups, completely exposed, Planned Parenthood, they're taught to don't let you get back. Don't get up. Now, they're not holding you down. Now, you see what I'm saying? They're not holding you down. They're not restraining you. But the practice is they want to have you lay right there. They don't want you to change your mind or nothing. So the last person hired in Planned Parenthood goes in and acts like the mother's head is here. Her legs are here, right over. Miss, we know you gave us $450, but that was when you were at 9 weeks and 4 days. But unfortunately, we have determined that your baby is 10 weeks and 1 day, and that's going to be an extra $100. And so how do you want to pay that? Why are you laying on the table? I see your purse is right here. You want me to kind of go through that and get the money for you? She said, true story. Wow. You want to use a card here? You want me to pick it up and you want to just pick a card here? She said, 100%. It works. They're going to come up with that extra $100. They got to put it on 10 different cards, but they never go out, let me go get your husband. Never do that. Let me go get your boyfriend. Nope. While they're on their back, most exposed, they're trying to get that extra $100, and they get it every single time. Don't worry, it gets worse. So the ultrasound is gone. It's out. She said, okay, yes. They got another bump. Let's do it. Come on with it. So what they do is, what Planned Parenthood does, is that they just take this vacuum cleaner with the tube on there, let's just be for real with it, and go in and suction out the baby. They just going in and just blindly suctioning out the parts of the baby. Blindly. If your dentist came in with blindfolds on his eyes, are you going to let him operate in your mouth?
No.
If you need an appendectomy done, if the dentist come in, they don't have you'll let them go up in there and let me see if I can get this done. No. But with abortion, that's exactly what happens. They know the general area, but they just going up in there, and you know what happens? They tear the uterus at times. A uteral perforation. Because they're going too deep. That sharp instrument has cut the wall of the uterus, torn the wall of the uterus because they've gone too deep. Blind. You talking about women's health? They don't care nothing about y'all. Period. And when you tear it, you bleed, and they hope. It's called the cross your fingers anointing, that you stop bleeding. Because they do not want an ambulance swerving up with lights blaring and sirens up into a Planned Parenthood parking lot, scaring everybody off the premises. So they don't let you die, but they let you get to the point. If you keep, because you know, when you tear the uterus, it's bleeding, you just bleed. Once you start to die, then they'll finally call. And so she mentioned a 17-year-old that bled for hours, and they packed her with gauze for hours, then they crossed the fingers, and the Lord had mercy, and then she finally stopped bleeding. Now she's seeing this. 22,000 for 8 years. You know what her job was? She was a POC, Particles of Conception. What does that mean? That's the baby, Particles of Conception. That's parts of the baby. But they didn't want to call it that. A POC technician's job was, once the parts of the baby were suctioned out into a glass, they dumped the glass out into a baking Pyrex dish and reassembled the pieces, be sure they got all the pieces. That was the job. Make sure that all the particles of conception were completely removed from the uterus. That was her job. And you know what she said to that? This is why you know the Lord is working. Quote, I can't really explain to you how I was able to do that job and not be bothered. I mean, I have no explanation for it. Man, when you're in sin, you just messed up. She said, I can't explain it. Which adds more to the miracle of God. I'm doing this for 22,000 abortions. I can't explain it except to say that when you are living in that sort of sin, I'm like, she called it sin in front of the people. She actually used the word sin. Thank you, Jesus. She told those people, when you're in that sort of sin, when you are experiencing that sort of evil, she called it sin and evil. She said, I could see that evil when I was piecing those parts together. I could feel it. And when evil that real infiltrates your heart and your head, it can literally blind you to the truth that's right in front of you, end quote. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Only God can get up in there and do it. Talking about the heart of a person being changed. Only God can do that.
Amen. Yes, indeed.
Now, right next to Planned Parenthood building was Pro-Life building. Their little headquarters. And Pro-Life would camp out around the fence and would try to encourage the mothers going in, hey, don't do this, it's murder, this, that, and the other. And every time Abby would walk in, hey, Abby, we're here for you, this, that, year after year. Something else, another lesson. Don't give up on your cousin, nieces, auntie. 8 years they're praying for this woman. 8 years they're there. Abby, we're here for you. Abby, 8 years. You know, That's why Jesus says, Luke 18:1, man, I always pray and not give up. Because you could give up. Like 8 years, man, she's being promoted. She's sitting with Hillary Clinton. We praying, Lord, it's going the other way. You know what I'm saying? Like, good night. Your cousin getting worse, your sons, your daughters, they getting worse. Keep praying, word of life. Yeah. Let this be an encouragement. Yeah. Stay faithful in your prayers. Amen. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Amen. Because God does use prayer as a means to bring about his purpose. Amen. And sometimes those prayers must be prayed for decades. Yeah. Pro-life were there every day for years and years. And she hated them. She said terrible things to them. She said she turned on the sprinklers on them. Oops. Getting them wet. $22,000 abortions. But God uses evil even to bring about good. He sent this independent doctor, abortionist, to her clinic. And I say independent, but again, he uses ultrasound. She said, I never heard of that. I didn't know that. So because of the fact that you could tear the uterus, and she had seen it happen many, many times, there are times where because they're doing it blindly, there are times that all of the parts of the baby is not sucked out. They're actually left in the uterus. There are times when that happens. There are times when you do bleed and you don't, and you finally get it to stop. But there was one woman who had developed gangrene some weeks later and had to take all of her reproductive system out. I repeat to you that Abby Johnson is a licensed therapist. Who's a director over this facility? Guess who she supervises? Nurses and doctors. No medical skills at all. No medical education, no medical training, none of that. And yet she had done thousands of ultrasounds. How are you going to do something like that if you don't know nothing about medical? And she says, because Planned Parenthood, they don't care. They don't care. Could they have a doctor running what she should be doing? Yes. He said, but they don't want doctors because you're going to ask too many questions. We want somebody that's more like a puppet to stick you in there and just follow the protocol. Just shut up and follow the protocol. And she was that person over doctors and nurses. So my man comes in. He says, you know, Abby, you know, do this particular procedure. I said, I know, you know, we don't. Now, Planned Parenthood's lie and why they don't use ultrasound is because it takes an extra 3 to 5 minutes per patient. And that's too much time that you lose over time because we're trying to perform. She gave, I listened to two of her testimonies. She said, they perform anywhere between 20 to 50 abortions per day. And that's a smaller facility, because the one over in Houston, Texas performs 75 per day. And so the extra 3 to 5 minutes of use with an ultrasound in, hooking it up, blah, 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 would take time, you know, so therefore we don't want to use that, you know, because she went to a supervisor and said, you know, that's a good idea, why don't we do that? Well, you know, it takes up too much time and, you know, we got to keep them going because the Planned Parenthood's objective there is to have the mother on the table for no more than 5 minutes. Not six and not 10 because of the ultrasound, 5 minutes. On and off in 5 minutes. I thought of Hitler's Germany. How can we more effectively kill more people quickly? So she doesn't see this and, you know, she doesn't know anything about it. So this doctor comes over and says, hey, you know, Abby, you've been a director here. You know, I got someone to show you the ultrasound. They said, wow, okay, yeah. You know, because I'm about to become the COO of this bigger facility, you know, I should know all parts of it. And I should know that, you know. Thank you, Lord Jesus. God is working behind the scenes. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. And so in comes the doctor. the doctor says, okay, well, I understand y'all got this machine thing going here. This, you know, this got to get 5 minutes on off. But if there's an opportunity in space and time, you know, and the right patient comes along, we'll take that opportunity. And so it did happen. There was an opportunity, the space, the timing, everything. And so they sent in the mother in, put her on the table, bring in the ultrasound. She said, I was a little nervous because, you know, I didn't know fully what I was going to see, but, you know, I had been told by Planned Parenthood that the baby will not feel anything, because, and they don't feel anything, for up to 28 weeks. 28 weeks. So that's, you know, it was a 7 months somewhere in there. Boy, that was a lie. She said, I knew it was a lie, but I had to believe the lie, or else I couldn't keep doing what I was doing. So eventually, that lie became the truth because I believed it long enough, you know. Yeah. But that was a lie. She said, why did you 28 weeks? Because Planned Parenthood didn't do abortions beyond 28 weeks. So they said, you know, I'm safe to stick it way out there and just tell them. Because mothers ask regularly when they're laying on that table. And by the way, mothers ask regularly when they're laying on that table. Guess what they ask? Will my baby feel this? Not will this mass of cells or whatever other words they tried, this blob. They would ask to a person, will my baby feel this? It's, oh, no, the baby won't feel this. You know, the sensory, you know, system is not in order until 20 weeks. You know, that was a lie they told them. And so she believed that lie. So, set the machine up. And it was a 13-week. And she stops and asks the crowd, you know, 13 weeks, are there arms? Yes. Legs? Yes. Eyes, ears, nose, yes. Internal organs, yes. Can they hear their mother's voice? Yes, at 13 weeks. This is what the baby they're about to take care of. And so they got the name of the actual instrument. So the baby's on the screen. You can see it. You even can tell the sex of the baby, the gender, male or female. This was a little boy. And so when the instrument went in, hadn't turned on the suction yet. When it went in, she saw the baby scoot away from it to the other side of it blew her mind, because all the lies had come to full fore in front of her eyes. They lied to me. Why is this baby running? Because it can feel. And the suction wasn't even turned on yet. So then the doctor said, turn it on. And of course, because of the callousness in this culture of death, the technician turning on the vacuum cleaner says, beam me up, Scotty. You know, the reference to Star Wars. Star Trek, rather. That's the callousness. Jokes, you know, POC stands for particles of children. Ha, 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 ha. And they turn it on and they begin to suction each part. And you can, like I said, you can see the cartilage on the screen, because it shows up white. So the arm goes, the other arm, boom, then the torso goes. Then the screen goes blank. It messed her up. Then it sucks into a jar, and you gotta reassemble those parts to make sure all the parts are out. Thank God for ultrasound. For Abby Johnson. So it took me a week to leave, because I didn't want to leave, because I made a lot of money. Abortion is big money. You can make a lot of money. If you can just lose your mind and don't care about life, you can make a lot of money. Shit, we had a good life. That's why I didn't leave right away, because it was hard to leave all that money, but I know what I saw. She went out that afternoon, got in her car. She was too embarrassed to walk across 50 yards. Man, no football field. That's not far. But she got in her car. Oh, I'm sorry. 50 yards away is pro-life. Right across, you know. So she got in her car and kind of rode and said, y'all got a back entrance? She called on the phone to pro-life. Y'all got a back entrance? And they like, hold on a minute. They've been praying. Like, you know, it's almost like when Peter, they're praying for Peter, and when Peter was at the gate, they're like, hold on a minute. Open up the door for Peter. They were so shocked they ran and told him, hey, Peter's here. And because they came to, hold on a minute. Then they finally came back to the phone and said, yeah, come on to the back door. She said, when they opened up the back door, it was three of them standing like just standing there. She said, I didn't know what to say. He said, what am I going to say? Sorry for killing 22,000 children? He said, what am I going to say? I didn't have nothing to say. She just sobbed uncontrollably. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
That's the power of the Holy Ghost.
Yes,
whipping on that conscience, making her alive.
Hallelujah.
She sobbed uncontrollably. She could not speak.
Yes.
She just cried and cried and cried while she sat there. Because when the Lord told her to go there, she said, I want to go to anybody else but them. Because she knew how she had treated them. And she said, you know what? When I finally did, you know, could say something, you know, when I finally could get it together, you know, all I could say was, you were right and I was wrong. And she said, you know what they didn't do? You know, she said, they could have said, well, Abby, you know, you really treated us really foul all these years. Turned the sprinklers on us and said some real evil, mean things to us, you know. Before we help you, you know, you're going to have to give us an apology. She said, they never did that. All they said to me was, it's over. It's over. Jesus. And she said, that's the closest thing, I'm paraphrasing, to saying the grace of God that I've ever seen. Because of how those people responded to her. In spite of her ugliness and the ugly in which she did for 8 years, they received her. Ooh, thank you, Lord Jesus. She said, but I'm not leaving until I get another job. I just can't leave. I'm not leaving. I said, okay, we'll help you. They started, got on the phone right then, trying to call. So she, it gets a little fuzzy. I think it was the next day. I think that must have been on a Friday. Yeah, Friday. Because she said, Monday I went back to work. She said it was nauseating. I was sick to my stomach. I don't know if she actually threw up, but it completely changed now. Now I'm sick to be in the building. I am nauseated. And she met with pro-life, had lunch with somebody at pro-life. And they were talking and everything, and she said, you know what, I can't do it. Forget waiting until I get another job. I can't do it. I can't do it. I gotta get out of here. Left the lunch, went back to Planned Parenthood to her office, 2 o'clock. Wrote up a resignation letter, faxed it to the people. She said, I gave them a 5-minute, what would you call that? Notice. I gave them a 5-minute notice. Because she sent that bad boy and then started packing up immediately 8 years of her office right then. When God moved, can't nobody stop God. Glory be to God. But it's got to be God moving. You can't make that happen. I can't make that happen. We can't make that happen. Glory be to God. I'm out of here. Just think, word of life. Think it through. 22,000 abortions. She's a particles of conception technician. She is reassembling these babies, parts of babies, year after year. I have no explanation as to how she can even do that. And then suddenly, out of the blue, here comes God showing up. And she can't even stand to be in the building. She's not even performing no more abortions. She's not sitting there rearranging parts of children. She's just walking in the building. Glory be to God. She packs up 8 years. And gets out of there. That's Paul. She said, remember, they're only 50 yards apart. So the pro-life guy kind of just stands out on his side. Not necessarily to be antagonistic, but just to kind of watch over her as she's leaving, not knowing if something's going to go down or what, you know, not sure. So he's standing there watching, everything went copacetic, there was copacetic, cool. She got in, drove down to the main thoroughfare, made a left and got out. Now, while she's driving down, the pro-life guy is now in her rearview mirror. Now, he doesn't know that she can see him. But as she pulls away for the last time, he drops to his knees and lifts up his hands and prays to God. He knew who to thank. God, you did this. He drops to his knees. And she drives away for the last time. Let me tell you something. Her family was against abortion. She was pro-life. Her family was pro-life. But you know what the family failed to do? And I want to encourage you to do when you have your grandchildren, your nieces, nephews, uncles, aunties. Make that crystal clear as to what that means. Because they did not to her. So she didn't really know. No, when Planned Parenthood slinked in like Satan did to Eve on that college campus, telling her these things, you know, hey, we do a little bit of that, but we really do this, that, and the other. It almost blended the same to her. It wasn't a clear that this is pro-life means we are for not killing babies in the womb, and pro-choice or Planned Parenthood is abortion, killing babies in them. Make it crystal clear. And they didn't with her. She got deceived and tricked up for 8 years. So when she first joined Planned Parenthood, she went to a Baptist church, I believe it was, and when she first joined in 2001, Planned Parenthood, she was going to a regular church she'd been going to. They spoke out against abortion. She said, well, I can't stay here. So she left that church and had to find a church. A what? A church. A church. You mean a church? Where? Bible church? Yeah, she had to find a church that teaches the Bible that's pro-choice, that is for abortion. That don't even, unfortunately, she found one. She found a church that was pro-abortion. And so she set her roots down right there and was there for 8 years. However, thank you, Jesus. When she left Planned Parenthood, she sat down with the pastor of the church. And you know what they told her? You're no longer welcome here. They put her out of the church because she went from pro-abortion to pro-life. A church put her out for being pro-abortion, for being in line with the Word of God. Now, when I tell you this is messed up, it's messed up. You should go find another church. Meanwhile, back at the headquarters of Planned Parenthood, they don't let you go quietly. That's why I said meanwhile. See, I'm just telling you, all on Abby Johnson's side, you best believe Planned Parenthood ain't going to let that go quietly. No way. So, meanwhile, back at the office of Planned Parenthood, they're coming up with a strategy to silence her. Because she's a director. She knows a lot. 8 years. How they publicize. Sat with Hillary Clinton. This is our trophy. She's in line to be the COO of the largest abortion facility in the Western Hemisphere. We can't let this go. So they do two things. One, they file a lawsuit against her. They actually take her to court. Then she jokingly tells the crowd at this point, she says, how many of you all know that Planned Parenthood believe this against the law to become pro-life?
That is true.
Because that's all she did. Second thing is, they did a press release, right? You write out a little synopsis and release it to the press. Press release was something like, you know, we're sad to inform you that, you know, we have to take our director, you know, to court and this and the other. And they put her cell phone number on the press release. Just being evil. Well, if you are the head of a murderous industry, yeah, you're gonna do that. That's Hitler, that's Goebbels, that's Gehring, that's Mengele. That's who that is. All of Hitler's henchmen. Now, these are folks who promote murder. You can expect anything from them. And so now, her name and her cell phone is being circulated throughout the media. So, well, at least locally. So locally, now, she doesn't know that the press release is happening. She doesn't know it. She gets a call from local media. Yeah. You know, a woman had interviewed her before when she was on the abortion side. So this is going to be this woman's first interview with her being on the pro-choice side, pro-life side, right? So she interviews her and says, hey, you know, why'd you leave? You know, well, they did it off the side. She told her the story and the woman blew the newswoman out the water, you know. So the interview concludes, and you know, she said, well, it'll be on the 10 o'clock news, and she said, oh, okay, all right. So she told her, one of her family members, like, you know, back then TiVo was a big thing. You know, she said, I want you to TiVo the, you know, the news report, because, you know, it'll probably be the last thing. I'll probably come on right around, right before 11 o'clock news, because it's 10 o'clock, you know, probably right around. So it won't be no big deal, but I'll watch it later, you know. But just so happened to her and her husband, and her five kids got home right around 10 o'clock. And they said, well, you know, we're here. Turn it on. You know, we just leave it on to you, you know, come on. 10 o'clock hits, and it opens up with breaking news. She said, breaking news. And they showed her picture. This was a big news. She thought it was just something small. Then she said, you know what, they gotta increase the crime rate around here or something, because this is, you're gonna open up with this? Are you crazy? Genesis 50 says, what you meant for evil, God meant it for good. Amen. You say, well, Pastor, why are you saying that? I'm about to tell you. That little story picked up. That little story that was put on in little bitty Bryan, Texas, got picked up by Fox, CNN, ABC. It went national. They would have never known about this if it hadn't been for that press release. And so then she says to the crowd, thank you, Planned Parenthood, for allowing me the platform to speak against you. What you meant for evil, put my phone number and all out there, God meant it for good. This thing went all over the world. We serve a mighty God. I don't care what's happening in your life, my people. Dead marriages, your relationship with your family dead, in a sense. The worst, your nephews, uncles, cousins, aunties getting worse, crazier. There appears to be no hope. The word of God says nothing is too difficult for me.
Amen.
Nothing, yes. Absolutely nothing. Amen. Nothing is difficult for me. So she writes a book. And I forgot the name of the book. But she writes a book. And other than the abortion industry, the murder industry, read the book. You want to get out. You don't know how. So they start calling her. You know what the Lord moves on her to do? To put together a nonprofit. She said, we can do that. She said, I have no idea. The first thing about a nonprofit, we ain't got no money, but we can do this. They start a nonprofit. She heard her husband say, you know what, man, if we can get 10 people a year just to come out, that we'll be over the moon. Just 10 a year. We'll be so happy. First 2 years, 188. 3 years, 300 and something have come out of that industry. When God builds the house. See, when you build it, Word of God says, they that labor, labor in vain. But when God builds the house, there's going to be results.
Amen. Amen.
She's a hated woman. I know that. So we're going to stop before I finish this up. We're going to stop right now. Evangelist Danielle, we're going to pray for her. We're going to all direct our attention to Abby Johnson. We're going to pray for her in Jesus' name. Come on, sister. Yes. Speaks to you because she converted to Catholicism, not really crazy about that. There's a lot of issues in that and so on and so on. So when you said pray by put her in the church that she you would have her, that's an on point prayer. Because my prayer is that she find where the Lord would have her to be, you know.
Amen.
Glory be to God, glory be to God. And so as we finish closes, and I can't believe it's been 50 minutes, they're going to do a movie about her. I think it's going to come out, I think, this spring, called Unplanned, because Planned Parenthood, Unplanned. And the actress who's playing her that will probably be her first and last role, because they have said, they told her, you know that this is a very controversial role. And she said, yes, I do know that. And, you know, they told me that you'll probably be blacklisted. I mean, you're done. She said, I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. I love that. The actress who's going to play
who is
Abby Johnson. I don't know who it is. It's not a like a big well known that we would know. But when you think about somebody who's trying to start, because she's young, start an acting career, and it's going to be over before you know it, for this, you know, you don't get a chance after this. They're going to blacklist you. You're done.
Yeah.
For her to say, I don't care.
Yes.
I love it.
Amen.
Hey, y'all, be encouraged. I try to tell you all, you're not going to change the world. I keep telling you, but God is going to change individuals. That's what he's going to do. If he does something on a grand mass scale, cool, great. But that's God. But what he'll use us to go in on an individual and plant pro life next door. They just kept on praying and kept on, Abby, you know, whenever you ever want to leave, we're here for you. And they were, 8 years later, they were there for her. They really were. They kept to that word.
Amen.
And he weren't mean and nasty about it. But girl, you turned fingers on me. You talked about my mama. You just said the other. I should knock you out. I wish I would help you. Talk to me like that. 8 years you did that. Just last week, you said my kids are like Frankenstein. I only have kids. But the love of God.
Amen.
If God's love is in you, you're like, thank you, Jesus. All that, you let it go. Father God, I can't do nothing but just throw my hands up and say thank you for this miracle. Thank you for sharing your power and your glory and your grace and your mercy. We will not give up on our cousins, nieces, uncles, aunties, sons, daughters, mothers, fathers, friends, and enemies. We will keep praying, knowing that you're able. In the end, may you be glorified.
Amen.
In Jesus' name, amen.